All right, we're beginning here on the top of Chaf Hei Amun Aleph, continuing to discuss the Mishnah that we started yesterday. Here we're discussing Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion with regards to Tumtum and Androgynous, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Ein Kedusha Chal Aleihem. There's no Kedusha that it's Chal on them. Amai, Ein Kedusha Chal Aleihem. Why is it true that according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that a Tumtum and Androgynous do not attain Kedusha? Kasavar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he must hold, Vadot Kochim Bavyatan Hein Kedoshim. That the offspring of Kodeshim only become Kodesh once they are born. Not in utero, not when they are formed within the mother, only once they are born. Well, once they're born, they already are Tumtum and Androgynous. They already have that Mum in them. So therefore, they're unable to attain the Kedusha, because when they're born, they're already Tumtum and Androgynous. If you really thought that they became Kadosh in utero, Amayin Kedusha Chalalehen, why wouldn't they have Kedusha? Ha? Tafsitinu Kedusha Dimayu. Their mother's Kedusha automatically devolves upon them while they're forming, even before they are a Tumtum and Androgynous. And therefore the Kedusha would be there, and would be Chal on them, even though they are a Tumtum and Androgynous. El Shema Mina, you must conclude that Vadei Kodshim Vavyatan Hein Kedushim. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that offspring of Kodoshim only become Kodesh once they are born. Vahai Tana, Savar. We have another Tana who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that Vadei Kodshim Vimeiman Hein Kedushim. That they become Kadosh already in utero. Offspring of Kodshim are Kodosh right away. You don't have to wait until they are born. The Tan Rabbanan. So now we have a Pasuk that the Gemara is about to darshan here from the Braita. It's a Pasuk that's found in Vayikra Chav Zayin and speaking about a Bechor. It says, Ach Bechor, Ashe Yivukar LaHashem, Bibehema, Lo Yagdish Ish Oto. When it comes to a Bechor, a person should not be Magdish a Bechor. That's a simple way to read this Pasuk. The Gemara now is going to break the Pasuk down and understand why you need all the words in the Pasuk. Now it's going to say the word bibeima is extraneous, and lo yakdish ish oto. Ish oto is also extraneous. So Gemara wants to know why the ish oto and bibeima were added, and the Braita is going to go through understanding the pasuk without these words and then adding those words in, which is Tan Rabbanan, ilu ne'amar bechor lo yakdish. Had the pasuk just said bechor lo yakdish, leaving out the word bibeima and leaving out the word ish oto, then it would have read like this: ach bechor. Ashei Yivukar LaShem, Lo Yakdish. So it sounds like from that, a Bechor Ashei Yivukar LaShem, a Bechor that is the firstborn to Hashem. We don't know if it's talking about Bechor Adam or Bechor Behema. We're going to assume it's talking about a firstborn man. Firstborn male man, who is Kadosh B'Bechora, Lo Yakdish. He will not be allowed to make anything Kodesh. And that's the way the Gemara is reading it. It says, Ne'mar Bechor Lo Yakdish, Hayti Omer Bechor Lo Yakdish Hekdeshot. A human, Bechor, should not be Makdish Hekdeshot. Tamar Lomar Ish Oto. So that's what the additional words ish oto come to teach me. Ach b'chor ashe yivukar l'Hashem, lo yakdish ish oto. Lo yakdish oto, oto is referencing back to a b'chor behema. So there's a limitation here that you cannot be makdish a b'chor behema. But it's still, oto yata makdish, aval adam makdish, adam b'chor ekdishot. So then I would have thought that a firstborn male human being is not allowed to be makdish Bechorot or Bechor Behema, but he's allowed to be Magdish, other Ekdeshot. V'dayne Omer, I would still conclude from that, Hu lo Yakdish. Only a Bechor Adam is not allowed to do that type of Ekdesh. Ava Yakdishu Acherim, but others who are not a Bechor Adam could do it. Tamal Omer, Bibehema. So that's what the word Bibehema comes to teach us. Bibehema Sakti. That I'm talking about the Behema, not a Bechor Adam at all. Now if I reread the Pasuk, it says, Ach Bechor Hashem Yivukar Hashem Bibehema. I'm talking about not a firstborn male human, I'm talking about a firstborn male animal. Lo yakdish ish oto. No person is allowed to be makdish such an animal. Leocha lo yakdish shenu bebeten. I would think maybe you can't be makdish it while it's in utero. Tamad omar asher yivukar l'Hashem. Mish yivukar l'Hashem. Only once it's born to Hashem is it restricted. Yata makdish. Avata makdish bebeten, but you're allowed to be makdish it in utero. Yochov al vladei kol kodeshim kein. I would think that it's true of all kodeshim, not just bechor. Tamal Omer, ach, chileik. It's a miyot, ach. Ach says it only applies to a bechor, not to other animals, or other kodoshim. So what happens here is we know that a bechor is only kadosh, but peter rechem. Only once it's born, comes through the birth canal. So therefore, a bechor, since it only attains its kedusha when it comes out of the rechem, while it's in utero, in the beten, you can be makdishit, because you're not affecting the kedushat bechor, you're already preceding the kedushat bechor. That's not true by other animals of kodshim. Other animals of kodshim, they are kadosh, mimei iman. They're kadosh immediately upon their formation, not when they are born. Therefore, you're precluded from making them kadosh in utero. And that's what the Gemara says, Alma svirle vladei kochim imei iman hein kadoshin. As opposed to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, this Tana clearly holds Tevlei kodshim are kadosh from the moment they are formed inside their mother's womb, not from the time that they are born. Amalei Rav Amram le Rav Sheshet. Amar le bechor, if he says about a bechor, mitziat rubo ola. When a rove of it exits, it'll be an ola. Ola havi or bechor havi. Then, basically what you're saying is that simultaneous with the moment that it would have attained kudushat bechor, you're saying I want it to be an ola. The moment a rove of it exits, mina shamayim, mina torah, it becomes a bechor. So simultaneously, you're saying it becomes an ola, and the Torah says it becomes a bechor. So what's the din there? Ola havi, to call purta purta de kanofeg hu kalil, since every piece that comes out will be classified as kalil fully to Hashem. Or bechor havi, to call purta purta de kanofeg bimiltehu, that every portion that comes out retains its status, the status of the bechor. Lishnach rina, which is easier to understand, shekein kedusha chayla alei. Maybe the reason is because the kedusha is chal on it. Odilma bechor havi shekein kedusha tami rechem. Do we say that the ola takes effect because it's kalil? It's more chamur. Its kedusha is more chamura. Therefore, it takes effect on this animal and knocks off the bechor. Or do we say bechor takes precedence over here because it's kedusha mi rechem? It happens automatically from the womb, which is not true by an ola. So which one is it? Amalei mighty baylach. Why do you have a question? I know the bayilfa. It's the same question that Ilf asked. Amar ala leket. When it's talking about leket, which are some of the matnot aniyim, which are the sheaves that fall out of the hand of the harvester, they are left to the aniyim. Im nishirat rubo. I want this to turn into hefker. Hey, hefker. Leket havi? Oh, hefker havi. So he says that I want, when the rove of the sheave has left my hand, meaning now it's going to fall on the ground, then I want it to become hefker. I don't want it to attain the status of leket, which would happen automatically at that time that the rove has left his hand is going to fall on the ground. I instead want that to become hefker, which would be available both to aniyim and ashirim, not take on shame leket, which would only be available to the aniyim. And you're saying I want it to be hefker when it goes. If it's hefker, then there are no matnot aniyim because ashirim and aniyim are equal in it, and therefore there are no matnot aniyim. So does this become hefker, or does this retain its status as leket? So Gemara says, leket avi shken kedushata bibei shamayim. Is it leket because that's min hashamayim, min haTorah, that it becomes leket automatically? Or delma hefker avi shken zochin bo aniyim b'yashirim. Or because you designated it as hefker, it becomes hefker immediately at that moment and precludes it from becoming leket. What's the question at all? Divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishomim. It's the difference between listening to God and listening to a human being. Who do you listen to? Well, of course we listen to Hashem. So therefore, it's obviously leket and not hefker. So too in our case, achanami, divrei mishomim. When simultaneously you want to make it into an olah, the time that it becomes bechor, we're going to listen to you to make it into olah, or Hashem to make it into bechor. It's obviously a bechor. So when you have it happen simultaneously, everybody's going to agree that Hashem's word takes precedence, and therefore it'll be a bechor in the case of bechor, not an olah. In the case of leket, it'll be leket and not hefker. Because Hashem's word takes precedence. The only way it can work is if you do it before the Kedushat Bechor happens, or before the Leket takes effect. If there you made it Hefker, or if there you made it Kadosh Ba'olah, that would be effective, because it has yet to attain the Kedushah that Hashem designated, and then you can, as a human being, intercede and create the Kedushah before it becomes Kadosh Kedushat Bechor.
Okay, the Mishnah says, Homer Vladash Zu'olda V'hish Lamim. You have an animal that is pregnant. He first designates the fetus, and then he designates the mother. So first he designates the fetus as being an ola, and then he says the mother is a shlamim, v'rav kayamim. He's successful at doing that because he addressed the fetus first. On the other hand, he shlamim, v'vlada ola. This is the other way around, where he says the mother is a shlamim, and then afterwards addresses the fetus and calls it an ola, arizu v'lad shlamim. Then the fetus is a shlamim already, because it already had attained or was affected by the kedusha of the mother, and therefore the fetus, you can't change its status once it's already a shlamim. So that's divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir we bumped into before. This is machlokas of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, about tfos loshon rishon. Meir believes that whatever you said first, that's what you mean. Anything after your first statement is a retraction, and therefore we do not consider it at all. It's tfos loshon rishon. Whatever you said first, that's it. Now, Amar Rav Yossi, im lekain or lekach nitkavein tchila, that was intention originally, that he wanted the mother to be a shlamim and the vlad to be an ola. If shar the quote shnei shemot kachat, it's impossible to do both of them simultaneously. The rav kayamim, then whatever he said is true. Doesn't matter if he put the vlad, the fetus, before the mother, or if he put the mother before the fetus. Rav Yossi believes af pelashon achron adam nitpas. We look at his entirety of his statement. As long as it's not a retraction, we're going to try as best as possible to mekayem his entire statement, because we know it's impossible for a person to make a statement about two items simultaneously. And therefore over here too, even though he said that the mother is a shlamim and the vlad's an olah, even though he said the vlad olah afterwards, we're still going to uphold his position or statement because that's what he intended for originally. If after he said this is a shlamim, he regrets it or he tries to retract it, then he can't do it. And we don't allow him to do is retract his original statement. We do say is if that's what he intended, then we are going to be mikayim, whatever he intended originally. So now the Gemara is going to throw us back to Daf Yud, where we had a statement by Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara is going to spend now the whole time understanding Rabbi Yochanan's position in the face of our Mishnah and other Tanaic works. So Rabbi Yochanan, Ifrish chatat mi'uberet v'yalda. Person, when he came, he was chayav chatat, he was makdisha chatat, but she was pregnant at the time that he was makdishit. Then v'yalda gives birth. Ratzab bamit kaper. He has an option. He can use her, the mother, ratzab v'vlada mit kaper, or he can use the fetus after it's born to be his chatat. My time, kasav Rabbi Yochanan im sheyaro mishuyar. Rabbi Yochanan has two pieces to his position. Number one is that the fetus is a separate entity in terms of your being a residual to the mother. You're allowed to remove the fetus from the kedusha of the mother or change the status of the fetus from the mother. And number two is ubar la biyarchimohu. And obviously a fetus is not an extension of the mother. So then when he's makdish this animal with its fetus, it's the equivalent of being mafrish te chataot. It's the equivalent of being mafrish two separate chataot lachrayut. And saying one is backup for the other. In that instance, we say you can be mitkaper whichever one you want. And the other one will go, and then you bring with the residual from that, the motorot nidava. You bring an ola with it. So to over here, we don't look at the fetus as being a vlad chatat, because that's one of the chamesh chatot metot. We don't look at it as being an offspring of the chatat that's going to be put to death, but rather, since the fetus attains a separate status completely, it's looked on as if you have two chataot over here. Where would you say that vlad chatat is meto? That's where you makdish a chatat, and then afterwards it becomes impregnated. At that point, that's called vlad chatat. That fetus attains its kedusha solely through the mother, and that's considered a vlad chatat. But over here, the chatat and the fetus attain their kedusha through you being makdish them. Then it retains a separate status from its mother. Motiv Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar asks from our Mishnah, and that's why we brought Rabbi Yochanan over here. Hishlamim vevlada ola. Harizeh vlad shlamim. If he says that the mother is a shlamim, and the offspring is an ola, then the offspring is a shlamim. V'isachadatcha shiyoro mishuyar. If you want to say that you can't leave over the fetus, you can separate the fetus from the mother, harizeh vlad shlamim, harizu shlamim by the mitne. The Mishnah should have written not that this is an offspring of a shlamim, but rather, this is a shlamim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the fetus attains separate identity, separate status from the mother. So even if you hold, like Rabbi Meir, that tfos lashon rishon, whatever you said first, is governing. So here you said it's a shlamim. When it spreads to the mother and the fetus, they should be two separate shlamim. You should have a mother that's a shlamim and a fetus that is a shlamim, independent of each other. The way the Mishnah is worded is that the mother is a shlamim and the fetus is a vlad shlamim, is an offspring of the shlamim. Why is it an offspring of the shlamim? According to Rabbi Yochanan, it shouldn't be an offspring of the shlamim. It should be a shlamim itself. Samarav tavla bar minadohi. Don't ask from this Mishnah. Amarav, we already have a member from Rav, the Tana Tnei, Arzu Shlamim. The Rav already said that this Mishnah's language is incorrect. You must amend the Mishnah to read Harizu Shlamim and not Harizu Vlad Shlamim. You have to actually change it to read Harizu Shlamim and then it will be consistent with Rabbi Yochanan's position. And the Mishnah needs to be amended in order to have it read correctly. So we no longer have a question from our Mishnah because with the amendation, the Mishnah reads fine for Rabbi Yochanan, because now you have the mother and the fetus being independent to Shlamim, and it's according to Rabbi Meir, who says that, I mean, Tfos Lashon Rishon, that your first statement is what determines, and since your first statement was that it's a Shlamim, both of them are full-fledged Shlamim. Okay, Meitav, Ha'omer l'shivchato hiriat shivcha v'vladech ben chorin, says to his maidservant, you will remain a shivcha, your offspring, the child that you have, will be freed. Im ha'itam mi'uberet, if she was pregnant at the time he said this, zachtalo, she's able to take possession on behalf of this fetus, and the fetus goes free. She is then the acceptor of this freedom on behalf of the fetus. So when it says, Iyamar bishlamayim sheiro enu mishuyar en ubar yirachimo, if you say that the fetus is not an independent entity from its mother, and an ubar, a fetus, is an extension of the mother, Mishum hachi zachtolo. Then she can acquire, or she can, on behalf of this fetus, accept the freedom. And it will be the equivalent of freeing half a slave. Umani, Rabbihi. It's Rabbi. Kedetanya, Rabbi Omer. Rabbi says, Mishachrer chatzi abdo. Someone who frees half a slave, yatzal lechirut. He's successful in that the slave does attain half freedom here. Kito viado baim keachat. Problem we have is that kol shikana abdo kanat rabo. General by an Eben Kenani, anything that he acquires, he's just an extension of his master. Extension of his master, anything he acquires is really acquired on behalf of the Rav or the master. So over here, where the master is granting him freedom, how can the slave himself acquire on behalf of himself? Because as soon as he acquires it, it goes back to his master. It's as if his master handed something from his right hand to his left hand. So how can he acquire freedom? So Rabbi explains that we give this Eved the ability, at the moment that he attains freedom, he also attains a right to personal ownership and private ownership. So Yado, his ability to acquire and to maintain private ownership happens simultaneous with his freedom. And so therefore, he's the one who accepts the get shichur on behalf of half of himself, comes to acquire a personal property, and he's successful at that. But that all assumes that they're one entity, that he is one entity. Because the if you hold, like Rabbi Yochanan, that the fetus is considered to be a residual, ubar larech v'yachimo, and the fetus is not an extension of the mother, amai zachtolo, how can it be successful at acquiring freedom on behalf of the fetus? Ha'atanya, we have a baraita, nirin sha'eved zoche lekabel get shichur shel chavero, miyad rabo shenu shelo, velo miyad rabo shelo. An eved, in order to be freed, someone has to acquire the get shichur for him. He has to be zoche on his behalf. So if the master gives it to another one of his slaves, it's done nothing. Because again, it's like handing it from his left hand to his right hand. It's never left his possession, and it does not help the eved. On the other hand, if he hands it to someone else's slave, another master's slave, then it does work. Because even though that slave is acquiring it and it's going to go to his master, there's still a third party here who's acquiring on behalf of the Eved, and Zochin Shadam Shalom Bifanav, it's a zchut for this Eved, and therefore he goes free. So over here, if we say that they are a single entity, if they're a single entity, then we can work like Rabbi and say that an individual can attain freedom for half of himself because Yado, Ve'gito ba'im ke'achat, simultaneous with his freedom, he gets possession, the ability to acquire personal property. But if you say they're two separate entities, that's the equivalent of having two independent slaves here, and the same master. You have the Vlad, and you have the Shivcha, they're both slaves of this master. There we said that one slave cannot accept freedom on behalf of the other slave, because that's like handing it from the left hand to the right hand of the master. So you've done nothing. The mother accepting on behalf of the fetus has done absolutely nothing. She's accepted from the same master. If it was a different slave from a different master, yeah, it would work. But that's not what we have here. We have a mother and a fetus who belong to the same master. If you say they're two entities, it wouldn't work. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, this becomes a very, very difficult explanation or a different position to explain. Elishmaminot must be imshiaro eno mishuyar. Conclusion we must come to is that fetus is not independent of its mother. It's Yufta, the Rabbi Yochanan to Yufta, and this is a strong case against Rabbi Yochanan's position. It undermines Rabbi Yochanan's position. Gemara says, all right, and maybe you're right, but leimaim sheyur mishiyar tanahi. Let's say that at least it's a machloket tanaim. Titania, omer leshivchato hare akbat chorim vevladech eved, that you will be freed, but your fetus will remain an eved. Vlada kamoa. Its offspring is exactly like her. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. If she goes free, this offspring goes free. If she's not free, then the offspring's not free. Chamim omrim, dvarav kayamim. You are successful at what you did. Mishim shenemar, the pasuk says, Eisha v'vladea tiyel adoneha. The wife and the children, meaning the shivcha kananit that's given to an eved ivri, she and her offspring belong to the master. So we're going to ask, first of all, kra ma talmudu l'rabbanan. The pasuk does not seem to support the position of the rabbanan that the mother and the fetus, or the mother and the child, are considered to be separate entities. Actually, it sounds more like that they are a single entity. So amarova, Kra, the Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The pasuk is actually supporting Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position. When we say Damar Kra, Damar Kra, Mishum Shenemar, that's referencing Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position, not the Chachamim's position. Tani, Vlada, Kamoa. Its offspring is exactly like her, Shenemar, Isha, Vlada, Tiel Adonau. Bizman Shah, Isha, Adonau, Vlada, Adonau. As long as the mother, the Shivcha, belongs to the master, the children belong to the master. So the Hekesh, where the parallel between them comes out of the pasuk, and that is Rabbi Yossi's position. What's the machlokin here between the Rabbonah and Rabbi Yossi Glili? Rabbi Yossi Glili savar shayro enu mishuyar. Yossi Glili says that the fetus is not independent of the mother. Therefore, if you free the mother, you cannot hold on to the fetus. Rabbanan savri mishuyar. Rabbanan say they're separate entities. Therefore, you could free the mother and keep the vlad. Everybody holds like me that the fetus is considered to be a separate entity from the mother. So then what's the reason over here? Damakra. Rabbi Yossi normally would say that a fetus is an independent entity. But over here he has a gzerat ha-katuv, that isha v'ladeh tiyel adonah. So the gzerat ha-katuv says over here that the mother and the fetus have the same identity, have the same din. But that's gzerat ha-katuv. Otherwise, even Rabbi Yossi Aglili would agree to the position of the chachamim that mishuyar, that a fetus is an independent entity. Correct. It's a unique circumstance with Shifcha Kenanit because of the Gzerat HaKatuv, and therefore we can't extrapolate from that to other cases. So Rabbi Yochanan said, now everybody can hold like me, and even Rabbi Yossi Aglili, just that over here we have a Gzerat HaKatuv. So, Ela Vade Lema Kihane Tanayim. Let us say it's like this Machloket Tanayim, the Tanya. Right, that we had earlier in the Masechta, Dafir Aleph HaShochet Et HaChatat. Person Shechs HaChatat Umatza Ba Ben Dalet Chai. Then you find in it a live, four-month-old fetus. Tani Chado. We have one brayta that suggests ein nechelat ela zichrei kuna ve'ein nechelat ela yom echad ve'ein nechelat lifnim min hakleim. The fetus has a full status of a chatat. It is only eaten by male kohanim. It's only eaten for one day, one night, and it's only eaten inside the walls of the azara. Full-fledged chatat. Tani yidoch. Another brayta that suggests nechelat bechol adam. It can be eaten by anyone. Ve'nechelat bechol makom, can be eaten anywhere. Ve'nechelat leolam, it can be eaten any time. In that there's no limitations on it. This is chulin. This fetus is totally independent. My love, Tanai, it must be this is a machloket Tanaim, whether the fetus is independent entity or not. Now Rashi's girsa is different than what we have in our Gemara. I'll read in our Gemara, and then we basically what Rashi says. Our Gemara says the Tanakama Savar. First one holds that Shiure no Mishuyar, that the Tanakama says it's nothing left over, the fetus is independent. Therefore, the mother's a chatat, and the offspring's a chatat. They're both full-fledged chataot, because Shiure no Mishuyar. And that's why it has the limitations of the mother. Umar savar shiro mishuyar. And the second brayta that we brought will say that you can leave over an entity, and that's why you can have chulin, fetus be chulin, and the mother be a chatat. So that's the way that we have it written in our Gemara. You can see here the aleph of the gra, the gimel of the sheet, the mekubet set, that say that girsat Rashi is just the opposite. And if you look at Rashi, it says, vitana batra, the mishavi le torat chulin. The second Tano that says that it's chulin savar im shiaro eino mishuyar. That he says that if you leave it over, it's not successful. So the exact opposite of the girsa that we have in our Gemara. So how does he explain it? He says, the lo chashiv ki behema b'anpei nafsha, not considered to be an independent entity, elo yerachimo, an extension of the mother. Machmani mu hu de kadish, becomes kadosh because of the mother. Kishar v'ladot kadshim, v'ay kedusha lo nachta le'ashat le'da. But it does not become kadosh until it's giving birth. So that has to do with another machloket that we've seen in other places. When do fetuses become kadosh? B'me'iman, in utero, or is it b'havyatan, when they're born? So we're saying over here that it's only once they're born they become kadosh. So the Tana Batra says, if you leave it over, you're not successful at leaving it over. So right now you have a fetus inside this animal. It's not kadosh because it hasn't been born yet. Had it been born, it would have been classified as a vlad chatat. But over here, since you shuck the animal, now you find this four-month-old fetus inside the mother, that's classified as chulin only because it wasn't born yet. But it's still considered to be a vlad chatat, or a vlad, an extension of the mother. Whereas the Tanakama believes that it's an independent entity. It's an independent entity, therefore it's a full-fledged chatat. Had it not been an independent entity, then it would have been a chatat and vlad chatat. Vlad chatat, you would have to lamita. So the fact that he says you can eat it and you can use it as a full-fledged chatat shows me that he sees them as independent entities. He just holds that b'me'iman doshim, that within utero, that's where they become kadosh. Since they become kadosh in utero, it's kadosh right away as a chatat. A chatat, but a separate chatat from the mother. Not a vlad chatat, but a separate chatat entirely. So that'll be the way Rashi explains the machloket here between the Tana Kama and the Tana Batra, in that the first braita and the second braita, is that the second braita says that you are not separate entities, but you have the issue of it only becomes kadosh once it's born. And the first Tana holds that mishuyar, that you can leave over a fetus, and it becomes kadosh immediately. Therefore, you have two chatot on your hands right now. So Rabbi Yochanan will respond. Amalecha Rabbi Yochanan. Dukuleyama imshiro mishuyar.
everybody's going to hold like me that a fetus can be independent of the mother. V'hani tnai b'hakamiflige. The machloket here between them is the marsavar vlade kochim b'abiyatan hein kedushin umarsavar vlade kochim b'mei iman hein kedushin. Both of them hold that the fetus is independent of the mother. The only question over here is, when does the vlad become kodesh? The case here is not dealing with a case of a mother who's already impregnated, and you're being makdishit, so we have to discuss mishuyar or any mishuyar. It's a case here where the animal only became pregnant after it was already kadosh. So the issue of mishuyar, any mishuyar, is not relevant to a case where the animal becomes pregnant after the fact. The only question here is, when does that fetus become kadosh? Does that fetus become kadosh immediately upon conception by the mother? Or does that fetus become kadosh only after it's born? And that will be the machloket between the two deot over here, the two brightot over here. Does the vlad become kodesh when it's born? Or does the vlad become kodesh while it's still in utero? The Tana Kama, the first brightot, will say that it's in utero, it becomes kadosh. And that's why over here, it's already kadosh. Whereas the other Madamar, the second Tana Batra, thinks that it's only once it's born that it attains kedusha. This only attains kedusha once it's born. It hasn't been born yet. So therefore, it will not attain a kedusha. V'ibayitema. Another way to solve this problem is lokasha. Kam b'shi kedusha l'sof nita'abra. Kam b'shi nita'abra l'sof kedusha. Depends when she became pregnant. One case is a case b'shi kedusha, she was kadosh. U'l'sof nita'abra, and then only became impregnated later. Kan b'shi nita'abra l'sof kedusha. The other case is a case where it's already pregnant. And then he was Magdishit. And everybody's going to agree that we're talking about Bahaviyatan Hein Kadoshim, only once it's born that it is Kadosh. But because this fetus was already intact or there when you were Magdish the animal, it will attain its own Kedusha. On the other hand, the second Braita that says it's Kulin, they say, number one, only once it's born does it attain Kedusha. But number two, the case there is a case where you were makdish the animal, and only later did it become pregnant. Since it only became pregnant later, you can't place kedusha on this animal. This animal will not attain kedusha until it's born. Once it's born, it'll attain kedusha, but at this point, you can't be makdish it. In the first case, since the fetus is already there, when you're makdish the animal, you can attain kedusha right away. It doesn't have to wait to be born. As soon as it's there, it's kadosh. So the difference in the brayta will revolve around when the fetus was there. First brayta says the fetus is already here, therefore they're both kadosh, b'chatat, mother, fetus, separately. Second Braita says, she only became impregnated after it was Kadosh. There, it only attains Kedusha once it's born. So right now, it's Chulin. It will attain Kedusha when it's born, but it'll be a Vlad Chatat at that point in time. It will not be a separate entity. So that'll explain the difference between the Braita, but also uphold Rabbi Yochanan's position that Shayar Mishayar, that you're able to leave the fetus, or the fetus is able to be independent of the mother. Those are two ways to explain the machloket in the Braita by not saying that it is a machloket about Shayar Meshuyar, not in Rabbi Yochanan's position. Right, so now the Gemara, Matkif La Rovo. Rovo goes back to the core of our whole explanation here. We know Rabbi Yochanan says that if you're Magdisha Chatat and she's pregnant at the time, that it and the fetus are independent, they each are Chataot, and you can be Mitzkaper with either one of them. We explained in the beginning of the Gemara, we explained the reason for Rabbi Yochanan as being that a fetus is independent of the mother. That's the reason behind Rabbi Yochanan's position. Rava says, I can give you another reason why Rabbi Yochanan would say such, and not use that reason. How do you know that that's the underlying basis for Rabbi Yochanan's position, is that the fetus is independent of the mother? Maybe this is the real reason behind Rabbi Yochanan. A person's allowed to be mitkaper with the increased value of hekdesh. Here, the Hekdesh was an animal, and now it has a fetus inside of it. That's like an addition to Hekdesh. It's a bonus to Hekdesh. And he believes that when you have a bonus to Hekdesh, Hekdesh benefits, or is a beneficiary of something changing within the animal, that you can use that, and you as the owner of the animal can use that additional Shevach, that additional benefit to Hekdesh, to be mitkaper with it. So it's not because the fetus is an independent entity, it's just because now this animal increased in value. That increased in value happens through this fetus. And therefore, this fetus is Shevach Hekdesh that you could be mitkaper with. But now it'll turn out that the situation is different. Before, we said that Rabbi Yochanan says, no matter which one you put on, you can put either one as a chatat on Mizbeach, the fetus or the mother, and then the other one will go out to graze. Over here, that will not be true. Only if you use the fetus. If you use the fetus as the chatat, then the mother will go out to graze and wait till it gets a mum in it. Because you've used the fetus. If you do not use this fetus as your chatat mitchaper, the mother will be used as the chatat, the fetus will go to mita, because it's a vlad chatat. It's still classified as a vlad chatat. You just have a right to use sheva hekdesh for your benefit. But if it remains a vlad chatat, then it will go to mitat. It'll be put to death. So it'll depend on which one you use, whether this fetus will go to the death or not. If you use the fetus as your chatat, then the mother will go out to graze. But if you use the mother, then the fetus remains as a vlad chatat and it will be put to death. So why don't we suggest that as the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan? Once you do that, then the whole case of shivcha that we had at the beginning of this amud would no longer be a question for Rabbi Yochanan. It won't be a problem having fetuses left over. He doesn't think fetuses get left over. He doesn't think fetuses are separate from the mother. He thinks they're one entity. This case is an unusual case because it's shevach hekdesh. Hekdesh benefited from having an extra ubar inside of the mother, and you're allowed to use that for your benefit to be mitchaper. And so this is the position of Rabbi Yochanan. So Amar Leih Rav Amnuna responds to Rava, Rabbi Elazar, Tamidei de Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar was a student of Rabbi Yochanan, V'yotev lekamei, and he was sitting in front of him. He was the one sitting there when this all transpired. V'lo hadarle, hai shnuyei. Rabbi Yochanan never raised this possibility, and Rabbi Elazar never said anything. V'at amar taimed Rabbi Yochanan, mishum dadam mitkaper v'sheva hektesh. How can you introduce a new reason here for Rabbi Yochanan? We have a statement in the beginning of the Gemara about Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and then we have, a question raised by Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar challenged Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah about that statement. So Rabbi Elazar is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, and he's challenging him from the Mishnah. We answered that the Mishnah, we had to do an emendation in the Mishnah in order to be an answer for Rabbi Yochanan. If Rabbi Yochanan's reason was something else, then why didn't Rabbi Yochanan just say to Rabbi Elazar, it's not a question? Or Rabbi Elazar himself should have said on behalf of his Rebbe, the question's not a question because it's the wrong reason. You have the wrong reason behind Rabbi Yochanan's position. The fact that Rabbi Elazar never did that shows you that he doesn't think that Rabbi Yochanan's position is based on Shevach Hekdesh, but rather, next on, Shuya Mishuyar. Very nice, Rava, that you can explain it that way, but it's clear that that's not the way Rabbi Yochanan made his statement, because otherwise Rabbi Elazar could have answered on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Yochanan could have answered Rabbi Elazar with that answer. The fact that he didn't shows you that it's not the real reason. Okay, Im Mishamar Arizu Shlamim Nimlach. If he decides that after he made it into a Shlamim, he wants to change his mind and make the fetus into a law, it doesn't work even according to Rabbi Yossi. Even according to Rabbi Yossi, who says, Af Bigmar Tavarab Adam Nikpas, that a person's entire statement is taken seriously. Or it says, Pshita, Klad Shlamim. Of course that's the case. What do you expect over here? Ela Kolema Deboy Nimlach? Of course its offspring is considered, its fetus is considered to be a shlamim. What do you want? And forever? He can change his mind? He makes him to shlamim whenever he wants. He can change the vlad into a ola. Why should that be true? Somebody says, I'm a papa, lo nitzrucha. Now the Mishnah is not in a case, el shamar toch kedei b'dibor. He reversed or retracted his statement within it kedei dibor. So ma'udu teima, what I have thought toch kedei b'dibor k'dibor dami? I would have thought that toch kedei dibor is considered to be a single statement. And even though he's retracting what he said originally, we consider it a full-fledged retraction because as if he never made the original statement. Vai, Yunehu de Kamayin, the Grod takes this piece out of the Gemara, but you can explain it, which is that he's just, in his mind, working out the situation. Kamashman, that's not the case. If he originally intended for the whole thing to be a Shlamim, even if he changes his mind within Tokhde Dibur, the fact that he's changing his mind makes it that he's Nitpas Velashon Rishon, whatever his first statement was, is done, complete. And that's the only thing that we worry about. If he had originally thought that he wanted to change it, and that was what he had in mind originally, then Rabbi Yossi says that we look at his entire statement. But since over here, his first statement was based on the entirety of what he wanted to happen, and then he retracts it, even if he retracts it within Dokhdi Dibor, it's not considered a retraction, not a successful retraction. And therefore, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that in that case, it's a Vlad Shlamim, that it doesn't turn into an Ola, it remains a Shlamim, because you cannot retract your original statement. Okay, we'll stop over here.